This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not doing this just for show. I mean this.
I can't believe Kenny has taken somebody off the board.
He's off the board.
You're going to make this really hard.
I'm going to bring in Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, senior draft analyst for CBS Sports. Ryan, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Yesterday, Ryan's basically just going to co-host this segment with us here. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Yesterday, Jimmy Haslam had some very candid words about Deshaun Watson and his future with the football team, basically saying dunzo cremunzo, and the word of Lima and all his buddies growing up, that it ain't happening ever again. He ain't going to play for the Browns ever again. In so many words. He didn't exactly say that, but you heard the words, or you heard the quotes, read the quotes, and I'm sure you were just as surprised as all of us, but it seems to be done. Immediately, I started seeing people going, okay, if it ain't going to be a quarterback, it might not be a quarterback, but if it ain't going to be a quarterback, let's go to this guy. And I go, you guys just want to be excited. Because Hear me out. If he ain't the best cornerback, why am I taking you number two? If he ain't the best wide receiver, why am I taking you number two? If I take you and you're playing cornerback, which seems to be what he wants to do, but all these other metrics say he should be playing wide receiver. Well, if I take you and I make you a cornerback, then there will be a package for you on as a wide receiver. If I take you and make you a wide receiver, am I really going to make a defensive package of you being a cornerback? And then the moment, I mean the second in the first preseason game or the first tweet you get from any of us at the first joint practice of MJ Emerson getting burned, which is going to happen, or anybody getting burned, it's going to be Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter. You should be playing both sides. 120 snaps in college. You should be playing a bunch of snaps now. And I go, you know what? For our own good, I got to take Travis Hunter off the board for me.
Because you don't want to deal with the fallout.
I don't want to deal with the fallout. I don't know if I trust the coaching staff to put him in the right spot. And again, I have to ask you, if you don't have him rated as the best cornerback and you don't have him rated as the best wide receiver, why am I taking a guy who's not the best of either, number two overall?
He's the best cornerback, and he's 1A a wide receiver. So you're,
I thought Will Johnson was the best cornerback.
Will Johnson was my – here's the thing. I'll give you guys a little secret. Will Johnson was my number one over the summer. He didn't play the second half of the season because of the turf toe, didn't work out because of hamstrings. And I talked to folks around the league that say he's been training pretty slow in terms of the sporty time. And, look, I have to remind myself every year, Kyle Hamilton, Brian Branch, all these guys who got hung up on because of slow 40 times who were first-round talents, I get that. But I need to know how fast this guy's going to run if I'm taking him number two overall in Will Johnson. He's a great player. He's not going to be as fast as Patrick Surtain, who I think ran the sub-4.4 when he came out a few years ago at Alabama and just got paid. But, Travis Hunter's number one because we, even though Travis hasn't run, we've seen him play, as you noted, 120 snaps a game, and he was always the fastest person on the field. The issue is the health. And I know you're trying to avoid having to have the conversation of should he be DB or wide receiver, but you also don't want to play him more than 40 or 50 snaps a year either, because if he gets hurt, then you're going to have a whole bunch of other conversations that you may not want to have.
Yeah. I just felt that a lot of people wanted to be excited by the number two overall pick. Everybody wants to be excited. He's an exciting player, but I don't know, man. You didn't do a great job of talking me out of my thoughts there, Ryan.
Yeah, we should have discussed that beforehand.
Why? You would have been able to better talk me out of my thoughts?
Well, that I don't know. Well, if you guys want to be excited, so I'm guessing no one should or Sanders. Or where are you and Abdul Carter? Are you okay with having someone to help Myles Garrett continue his happiness?
Well, after Jimmy Haslam's comments yesterday, I'm really warming up to Abdul Carter.
I was warming
up before.
Sounds like I need somebody to help him walk up the stairs, given the stress situation in his foot.
Seemed to have no problem walking around kicking a tow truck driver's ass. Now, did he?
Fair enough. So we're out of Shador.
Well, hold on. Right. I want to get back to Travis Hunter quick because I came across a scouting report that said wide receiver comps for Hunter. Odell Beckham Jr., Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, cornerback comparisons, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson. Okay, so he's the best player in the history of football. Like, are we getting a little crazy here?
Yeah, no, we're getting a little crazy. He's a slight frame, and injuries have been a concern throughout his career, even going back to Jackson State. There was, look, some things you can't control. 2 years ago against Colorado State, he got that cheap shot on the sidelines. I think he maybe lacerated his kidney. He had some internal injury that sidelined him, and then I think he had shoulder last
year. So if he takes
year.
A hit, his internal organs go haywire?
He's not the only one, Lima, but it's a concern because he's not built like Champ Bailey. He's not thick like that. He's more slender frame, if I could put it that way, closer to Sauce Gardner than maybe Darrell Revis back in the day. So you just have to manage those things. So you get to manage everything with every player. There's always something. You know, Will Johnson's built like a truck, but he is turf toe. So it's one thing or the other. Any consideration to, and this won't happen because I don't think the Titans will come off of it, to try to trade up for Cam Ward if that's who you love?
So we had a lot of discussions about that when it seemed like Tennessee was open for business. You know, Tennessee has played it perfectly, really causing a lot of people to wonder how much they truly love him or whether or not they're open for business for a big trade up. But, you know, I come back to, Ryan, what did we say about the quarterbacks, you know, at the start of the year? What did we say halfway through the year? What did we say before the end of the year? What are we saying now? And it really just seemed like both of these guys, Shador and Cam, they don't have the highest of grades if you were to put them, you know, with all the other quarterbacks and all the other drafts. And there might be a gap between Cam and Shador, but there also seems like there's a gap between Cam and the guys we have at the top of the last five drafts.
Yeah, and I'm coming around to putting Cam closer into that conversation with previous draft classes, last year being the one we talk about the most. I think Shador, the issue for me with Shador isn't anything that he's done on the football field. It's that when you get to the NFL and you lack the high-end physical traits of a Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May, or even a Bo Nix, or in this case, a Cam Ward, they all have those things. And then you're starting to play with the degrees of, okay, he almost made that play. He almost made that throw because he lacked that physical ability to win outside the pocket or the arm strength to get the ball into wherever it needed to get into. And those are the concerns. Like, I think if you put Shador in on the Rams or the 49ers, they're probably going to the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, when you get drafted in the first round, you're going typically to a bad team. So those are the issues for me. But I think Cam has made a pretty good case over the last half of his final season in Miami and then the pre-draft process, which we do put too much value on, but I still fall for it every time, that he is a little closer to perhaps where some of those quarterbacks were in last year's draft class. And maybe more importantly, when you talk to people, they say he has an edge to him. And sometimes you need a guy that has the memory of a goldfish in terms of just making play after play and then makes a mistake and comes back and goes back to making more plays.
We have Ryan Wilson joining us from CBS Sports. So, by the way, let me throw this in there with the quarterback situation before we talk about this. Diana Russini, she posted just moments ago that Raheem Morris, this is at the meetings, the NFL owners meetings down in Florida, Raheem Morris on Kirk Cousins returning to the team in a backup role, though if a trade opportunity presents itself that works for both sides, they'll look into it. Atlanta does not expect him, being Cousins, to show up for voluntary work this spring. Should they make a trade for Kirk Cousins and forget about a quarterback at number two? Or, hey, if they trade for Kirk Cousins, very much the quarterback at number two is in play.
Yeah, man, you got to figure out which Kirk Cousins you're getting. If you're getting closer to 75-80% of what Kirk was before the injury, I think you trade for him, and then maybe you take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or whomever. And because the Steelers are the test case, and now the Browns are going to see this up close and personal. They got nervous and overdrafted Kenny Pickett back in 2022, and it sort of set them back a little bit. And we'll see. The Steelers might do it again this year if they take Jackson Dart or whomever at pick 21. I think you have to trust whatever your personnel department decided throughout the scouting process. And if your board says take Travis Hunter, take Travis Hunter. And if you have to roll with Kirk Cousins for a year and he's looks like he did last year, then it is what it is. But you don't want to compound the problem by taking a player that you didn't believe in. And that's not to say Shador can't be the number two overall pick, but if in this scenario the Browns weren't crazy about him, then I would seriously consider about trading for him and for Kirk and then getting a fantastic player that, for example, could help Myles Garrett. So I just think we see too much teams overreacting, getting nervous, trying to fix a hole that ends up making things worse in the long run.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, joining us on the hotline. Obviously, people in Cleveland paid a lot of attention to Will Howard the last year, especially during the magnificent playoff run. So you look at his size. We know about his mobility. We know that he could be a perfect, you know, goal line quarterback as well. What is it about his game that still has his projections well below the first round?
Yeah, if you go back and look at his numbers at Kansas State compared to what Kyle McCord was doing at Ohio State, Kyle McCord's numbers were better, and a lot of times a lot better. And I think it felt like coming into Ohio State, Will was a game manager. That doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. But you talked about it, Lima. Indiana game on. It was the Indiana game. He went off. The Michigan game, they somehow lost. And then the rest of the games were the playoff games. I think he completed like 77% of his passes. He was playing at a high level. He was making some big boy NFL throws. And you talked about the physical stuff. I mean, I was at the pro day last week, and he was standing next to Jack Sawyer. And if they didn't have their names on the back of their jersey, they looked to be exactly the same size and width. And we talked to him at the combine. He's a great guy. Like, he's all about football. He's locked in, all those other cliches we like to talk about this time of year. And he has easy arm strength. And by that, I mean he can make throws down the field and step on throws and not have to really get into it. He can do it pretty easily. I think he's going to end up going on day two. I think the Steelers took him out the night before the pro day. I know there were 32 teams there, but, I mean, it was the national champion, so there see a lot of guys. But saw Kellen Moore, saw Ben Johnson. He doesn't need a quarterback, but he was there in terms of looking at the offense. The Steelers had Tomlin, Arthur Smith, the OC, and the GM, Omar Khan there. So there's going to be interest in him, and I would imagine – I've talked to teams that think he could go before Quinn Ewers. So if he went before Quinn Ewers and Jalen Milroe, that would not surprise me. So I think there's actually a little more love for him in the NFL than perhaps we're hearing in the media.
Can I just tell you this? If the Steelers are willing to wait, I got nothing against Pat McAfee whatsoever. This isn't what I'm saying here. But if the Steelers are willing to wait until April 9th, that Aaron Rodgers makes some grand announcement that he's going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers because it's a live show, I don't want to hear anything about the Browns ever again from any Steelers fans. Because if you guys have been sitting there, if the Steelers fans have been sitting there for so many years saying, wow, the Browns are going to do Browns, no. That's old-style Brown stuff, waiting on some guy to go on a live television show to announce whether or not he's going to go to Pittsburgh or not. That's some Brown stuff. I don't ever want to hear it again.
No pushback. And it just goes to show how spoiled Steelers fans have been for decades now, because they're so used to winning that they don't understand what desperation looks like until you're in the middle of it. And then suddenly everything becomes okay. Like, oh, it's not that bad. And that's how you get to the situation. And the Steelers they're in a predicament. And if Aaron Rodgers leaves them hanging, and I've heard various things about how seriously he wants to play in Pittsburgh, then they got to figure some things out, because I suppose you could roll into next year with Mason Rudolph, but I wouldn't recommend it. And then if you overdraft a quarterback at pick 21, you're sort of back in the time machine when you took Kenny Pickett in the first round and having to make that work. So there are a lot of moving parts, and it feels, to your point, like they're not in a great place. And you know, if you can talk yourself into Aaron Rodgers, you can talk yourself into anything, I feel like.
Hey, real quick, I'm hearing a whole lot of all these offensive line prospects. Like, well, you could play him at tackle. You could try to play him at guard. You could try to play him at tackle. Is that because there's a dearth of good offensive linemen in college, or is this kind of the way things are going to be now, is that there's more guys who you can switch from guard to tackle?
I think it's an issue that there are a lot of good offensive linemen in this class, not as deep as last year's. But the problem is, once these measurements start coming in from the combine and the pro days and you see the arm length, everyone and their brother thinks suddenly that you can just move guys around because their arms aren't NFL length worthy, if you will. So I think in some instances, it makes sense. In other instances, you're like, let's not overthink this. Will Campbell, for example, he's a left tackle until he proves otherwise, and his arms measured 33 inches, and everyone lost their minds. He started in the SEC from his freshman year until his junior year. He's going to be fine.
Ryan, I agree with you on that, but I have Lima doesn't even know this. I have an old offensive line coach that is a very well-known guy, and I talked to him, and he's like, no. Why? Because of the arms. Because of the arms. Absolutely not at tackle. Like, he was... And I go, he's played so much football. Look at him. He goes, absolutely not. No. I'm like,
and
okay.
That's how we get to this point.
Yeah, I didn't realize the arm thing was that big of a deal.
Yeah, and we overthink it. Just like when I was talking about Brian Branch and Kyle Hamilton. There's a list of guys where Matt Light has short arms back in the day. He played tackle his entire career. He was good at it. I think it just comes down to the player. Like, Peter Skoronski has short arms, Northwestern left tackle, drafted by the Titans. They moved him inside. And that was the right move. His body type is a little different than Will Campbell's. He's a little longer, a little more stretched out. But, you know, these are the conversations you have to have, and your coach has to be able to work with these players. And if he doesn't feel comfortable with them at tackle, then either you don't draft him or you have to draft him with the understanding that that young man maybe has to move to another position. And although, by the way, it's not easy just saying, hey, you, go play a position you never played before against some of the best athletes in the world, and let's see how it goes. So that's something else you have to keep in mind that we don't talk a lot about.
Unfair question. 20 seconds. I mean, 20 seconds. The Browns take Shedeur Sanders, number 2 overall. Are we talking about a quarterback high for the Browns in 2026?
No. I like Kevin Stefanski. I think Shedeur Sanders in the right spot with his mind right can win you some football games. But you got to get rid of all the other noise that surrounds Cleveland.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. We thank him very much for his time on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson, CBS, one of the best. He is their draft analyst, senior draft analyst, also hosts the With the First Pick podcast. He does a wonderful job on there. There you go. Trying to talk me out of Travis Hunter. Also, 9
it's
o'clock.
That time of the year.
You could win a team for the Fan Mock Draft coming up April 17th. You could win a team, but you have to be listening at 9 o'clock to win your team. You could be going to Razzles, having fun, playing some volleyball, doing the mock draft, a lot of fun. It's over there in Olmsted Falls. It's a great time. Know the people over there. It's on Bagley Road. It's wonderful. I accidentally said Bailey Road yesterday, but I was... distracted.
They did not move into a different road.
They
it's
didn't
still,
move it.
It's the same
no.
location.
There's work right there. They got that new bridge right around the corner from it. I don't know if the CVS is still there, but right around the corner, they got that new bridge. It's fantastic.
It's still there.
Fantastic.
I was just over there.
Really? Good. Yeah. Fantastic area of the city right over there, or the town right over there in Olmsted Falls. And then Brian Hoyer going to join us at 9:02. Has he ever had a teammate who's basically like Deshaun Watson that has now turned into George Costanza from Play Now, where he is, if Jimmy Haslam needs him, he's in his office. More on that coming up at 9:20. So, am I wrong about Travis Hunter? 216-474-0092. I respond to a lot of fans. And football-wise, like somebody got into here, Twitter Action is brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, showed me his route tree and showed me how he runs routes. It's like, Ken, if he's there at 2, he is the best wide receiver. You got to take him. I said, well, that's arguable, certainly. But then there was a package, quote-unquote, of how you would use him as a cornerback. I go, I don't think there is any packages for a wide receiver. I think it's different for a cornerback. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys in the defensive – a lot of guys in the secondary, if you're a starter, you don't come off the field. Rodney would tell you. Gerard would tell you. Like, you're out there. You are out there. You could be a nickel guy. You could be a dime guy. Maybe you could try to do that. But there's not really packages that are involved there. And I just think about our reactions. He's a two-way player. Okay, so you take him, you make him a corner. All right. There's got to be a package for him, a wide receiver. Okay. But if you take him and make him a wide receiver, which he looks to be better at as a wide receiver, the moment anybody gets burned, and it's going to happen because it's the NFL, guys get burned all the time. The greatest, Darryl Green, got burned. If he gets one guy gets burned, we are immediately going to get pounded with Travis Hunter calls and that Kevin Stefanski's an idiot and Jim Schwartz needs to take this thing over. And I just, in so many ways, I go, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I think you think I'm wrong. Talk me back into
Talk me into taking
his name and putting it back up on the board.
I'm having a lot of trouble with Travis Hunter. And the reason I'm having trouble is he's never been just evaluated the same way that other wide receivers would be evaluated. Like, have you heard him evaluated in the same way Marvin Harrison Jr. was evaluated. When Marvin Harrison Jr. came out, he was supposed to be basically the perfect wide receiver. He got taken fourth overall. Granted, there were quarterbacks.
He was over. I hate to say it. I think he was overblown by all of us. I think he'd be a great wide receiver. He's banged up. We all just freaked out and called him the greatest thing ever, and I think that became
He was amazing, and he was at Ohio State, and he had the lineage because of who his dad was. So we were expecting, you know, all-time production, all-time season coming out, and, you know, you consider where he's at. It's tough to evaluate. It's been 1 year. He was good. He wasn't, like, all-time sensational as a rookie. He was good. Again, what's the offensive setup there, you know, causing you to question that? Then I look at, all right, Jeremiah Smith, who is not even eligible to come out next year. He was universally considered last year, I thought, to be the best wide receiver in college football. So how are we talking about Travis Hunter as a wide receiver? Now, all of a sudden, in the last 2 weeks,
Look at his advanced numbers. His advanced numbers say this is a wide receiver. I don't think he wants to play it. I'm not sure exactly what he wants to do, but...
So I want to know, as a wide receiver prospect, take the secondary stuff off the board for the purpose of this discussion. How is he being evaluated, even with those two Ohio State receivers? Marvin Harrison Jr. came out last year, went fourth overall, who's 6'4", okay? And Travis Hunter, what would you put Travis Hunter? What did he at the combine? Was he 6'1"?
I believe he's 6'2".
6'2", okay.
Am I wrong?
So how would you compare him with just those two Ohio State wide receivers?
He's listed as 6 foot here. I'm sorry. I thought 6'2 the whole way. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
He's listed at 6 feet.
It just seems like in the last 2 weeks, he has all of a sudden been hyped up as one of the best wide receiver prospects ever, and I'm like, that has not ever been the case. Where did this come from?
I mean, if you're talking about wide receivers, I don't know. I think our body types have changed.
Are we doing the same
thing? Want.
I guess my bigger question, sorry, Kenny, to cut you off.
Are we
doing the same thing with Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter that we've been doing with Shedeur Sanders, which is it's a down draft, so we're reaching for guys all across the board? Because somehow Abdul Carter became Miles Garrett over the last month.
Now hold on. I think people have talked themselves out of quarterbacks because of Johnny Manziel and Deshaun Watson and all that crap. Don't do that with the other players. There's about to be... 2013 was a bad draft. There were still some really good football players in that draft. Jamie Collins, before he got here, was a really good football player in that draft. Now he's an assistant coach with UNC. There's bound to be some good football players. He was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to talk myself out of Abdul Carter or talk myself up just because it's a bad QB draft or it's a bad draft overall. I don't want to make the same mistake with Travis Hunter.
Is it a bad – we were kind of told earlier this year it was a bad blue-chipper draft, too.
Well, I got to ask you guys.
I should say down.
Are you thinking we're just we should draft Travis Hunter because it's the number two pick and you want to be excited? And that is a more exciting choice than
– It would be exciting.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's a well-known guy. Everything I see about him, I know there's the girlfriend stuff. I don't talk about guys' girlfriends. Ain't gonna happen.
We talk a little bit off the air about it.
There are no rules off the air. What rules are there off the air? But there's on the air and there's rules. And I just don't want to. I don't want to trade in that business. It's a slippery slope. So I know that there might be questions there. I don't know. I'm not gonna pick who the guy loves. It seems to be like he's a nice guy. But damn it. Are people wanting to pick him now after what Jimmy Haslam said yesterday that seemed to throw a lot of cold water on the quarterback conversation and go, I just want to be entertained? Travis Hunter's an entertaining character. He's an entertaining player. Because I'm telling you, if you take him as a wide receiver, like I'm getting a lot of people going, Ken, he can still play corner, he can still play corner, he can still play corner. You got to get him on the same page as whoever's throwing to him. Unless it is Kirk Cousins. I mean, I got to get Kenny Pickett and him on the same page. I got to get Jerry Jeudy on the same. He's got to learn how to read defenses in the NFL, what he's going up against. Like, that's a lot of what I told you. I had a blind spot for wide receivers 2 years in a row. Sat there and talked to wide receiver coaches. Like, you got to learn when they say he runs a good route, what's that mean? You know how to read a defense. You know how to read a secondary. You learn how to read the coverages and what they're going to present to you on any given route. So you're able to tailor that and work with a quarterback on that. You need to focus on your first thing first. And I'm telling you, if you make him a wide receiver And Martin Emerson, who did not have a good year, you can feel it already. And I don't think I want to deal with it. I don't think I want to see Kevin Stefanski deal with it. And honestly, they've gone through more changes, bringing other guys in as coaches. Now, I know they haven't made a lot of changes defensively. And I tend to get nervous about these things. How much faith, on a scale of 1 to 10, everybody turn their mics on. 1 to 10, how much faith you got in the current coaching staff? Owen Lottman.
5.
Mitch.
6.
I was going to say 6.
So it's about 50-50 for all of us.
Well, we're probably higher. We're probably higher than where most of the fan
base
is right now.
Thanks for bringing that up. Rich and Menor, you're first up on the fan. Rich, real quick, and then I'm going to get back to you here in a second, all right? Rich, scale of 1 to 10, how much faith do you have in the coaching staff? 7.5. Rich is on the upper end of that. All right, I'm going to put you right back on hold. Do you not have faith? Because of that lack of faith, everybody else, that they're going to use him in the right spots and he's going to be perfectly fine for this organization? Could he be more than likely get caught in the wash? It was a resounding no by those in the room.
I'd be very nervous.
Now, Rich is more bullish on that. Hello, Rich. Go right on ahead. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, boys. So just talking about, like, the excitement of Travis Hunter, like, what would get you excited, I think. But the number 2 pick, what would get me excited is bringing in an alpha player, right? An elite player at their position. And Ken, I got to respectfully completely disagree when you say Travis Hunter is not the number 1 receiver in his class. I think he's the number 1 receiver in his class. And I think it's by a large margin, even. You know, like, I had the privilege of work of watching all 22 film on offensive players and breaking them down. It's a great way to, pay the bills. And after watching Travis Hunter, I mean, he really is. He has everything you want out of a true alpha receiver. What's really excited about Travis Hunter.
So let me ask you this. Like, yeah. Rich, I don't know your credentials, so I can only ask you a question here. Not fighting you. What makes him better than Tet McMillan out of Arizona or Luther Burden out of Mizzou?
Okay, so Luther Burden is a nice product. Luther Burden, if you want something that has some issues, Luther Burden literally would pout on the sidelines last year on the school line. Like, he really kind of got disinterested in the team and really kind of, like, took plays off. If he wasn't getting the ball, you kind of knew he wasn't getting the ball.
And Travis Hunter doesn't do that. I would agree with that. Okay. And we need a guy who's going to show up. Okay, now give me Tet McMillan.
Tet McMillan, easily pressed off the line. You could stop him with press coverage. We saw it against, like, Utah, who plays press, really good against man coverage there. Real slow off the line. Has the frame, has the ball skills.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice player. But he does have some flaws. And my number one concern with him is, if you look over the history of the NFL, players like him are true 50-50 hits on whether they hit or not. So the speed of him getting off the line, it does give me some worry. A very nice player who could definitely have, like, more of a Mike Evans ceiling, not a Drake London. But I see him more like of a Cortland Sutton.
Man, you're saying not, or he has more of a Mike Evans ceiling, because Mike Evans should be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, Mike Evans is a for sure Hall of Famer.
Okay.
That's his ceiling.
That's a pretty high ceiling.
Travis Hunter has that Odell Beckham prime, Malik Nabers-esque ceiling. Like, the way Malik Nabers the way Travis Hunter gets off the line,
mm-hmm,
is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The way he tempos his pace and his route running is a beautiful thing. His catch radius, his ball skills,
okay,
with the ball in his hand.
If you make him the number 1 wide receiver, are you willing to say bye-bye to the cornerback stuff? Because he's got to focus.
Oh, but yeah, here's the thing. Like, you can't play 2 ways in the NFL consistently. You don't have enough time in the day to be in the room when it comes to watching tape and studying for the opponents. It's just not possible.
All right.
So you're not going to find a 2-way player in the NFL. Not saying he can't do it. It's just, in the NFL, it's a different level,
Rich,
right? You're in the rooms every single day watching tape, and he won't have the time to do that.
Rich,
maybe just be maybe sprinkled in.
I want to give you credit. You're a hell of a salesman. Thank you very much for the call. It's a hell of a job by Rich. I mean, if you want to take him and make him wide receiver, make him wide receiver. But you just know you're going to hear, I'm going to get hell about making him a cornerback the second it inevitably happens, because everybody gets burned the second someone gets burned in the Browns secondary.
You know what? I don't think it's a fist fight. I really want to hear how people evaluate Travis Hunter as just a wide receiver, because guys, do we agree he's not going to be playing both ways for very long? It's going to be one thing eventually, right? He could say he wants to play both. Do you guys disagree with that? He's pretty much going to be a wide receiver, isn't he?
Yeah.
Owen, do you agree or disagree?
I mean, yeah. Stefanski gave comments yesterday that he could see him doing both, but...
Well, yeah, you could always see him doing both, but I agree with you guys. Like, it's a wide receiver. And if he were a... If it were Deion, like Deion, yeah, we'll run you out there for a series of plays or for a package, because it's another thing for a defense to look at. It's another thing.
That's the one thing that he does is going to be in the back of his head forever. Is his college coach was the guy that did it last, really, right? I mean, I know there was
Troy Brown.
Troy Brown
when it comes up,
but
I hate to be this way. Like, Troy Brown did that at the beginning. He did that in packages at the goal line.
Yes.
He did that at necessity. I hate
a wrinkle.
I hate to do it like this.
You wouldn't
it's
draft
just so,
him because of that.
It's just so lowest common denominator. It's like, buddy, you're playing against the Big 12. This is the NFL. This is the best of the best. And I need you at the very best of the best. And I do think it's easier to go out there and play corner. And then, hey, a little bit of offense. You can run some routes. We'll either use you or we'll make you a decoy, one of the two. Then to do the other side. Then to do the other way. I think it is easier to do it that way.
Well, and so I want to dial in on him as a wide receiver just for the sake of all of this and throw all this other stuff aside, which, by the way, probably easier for me to say than do, because if I was interviewing Travis Hunter and I'm an NFL team and he's telling me I want to play both, would you use it against him? That's tough.
No, I'm not going to use it against him. But
just because you don't want him coming in, and I don't know what is his agent. Somebody say his agent was Lil Wayne.
What?
Maybe I got played by an April Fool's joke. I have no idea who his agent is. But what if his team? What if they're sitting there saying no, he's going to play both? Well, if I'm an NFL team now, I kind of got to use it against him. Like, I don't want that problem. I don't want that challenge. I don't want my coaches scrambling.
Yeah, let's concentrate on one, and then we'll work in the other one. Man,
I want to know where he is with other draft classes. I want to know where he is because we're doing the same thing for quarterbacks. Like, if we're saying, wait a second, Shador Sanders would have gone sixth last year with quarterbacks or would have gone behind Bo Nix last year. Okay, well, those guys aren't in this draft, but if we're going to do that, let's do it for wide receiver. So I put up some names. Where would he go in order as far as wide receiver prospects with Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Jeremiah Smith? And I'm putting Jeremiah Smith there because I've heard guys like Todd McShay say he's got the perfect quarterback receiver evaluation. The perfect. Like, meaning it's as good as we've ever seen. Not that he's going to be, but this is how you do prospects.
He signed with his agency, by the way. It's I don't know if it's Lil Wayne himself.
Well,
but
Lil Wayne is standing at the Heisman Trophy with him.
So. Okay, so where would he go?
And I can't believe I went from delivering newspapers, listening to that guy on a CD player to this. What an incredible story. Sorry, go ahead.
So I put it out on Twitter, and again, it's just people on Twitter, but people on social media. But they're all telling me he would go last. He would go behind as a wide receiver. He's not as good of a prospect at coming out as Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and what Jeremiah Smith will be in 2 years.
But Jeremiah Smith is a grown man already. I don't know if that's a great comparison.
I know, but all I'm saying is generational talent doesn't go fourth in this conversation. You're not a generational talent.
It's true.
If you're going fourth in just those guys. I didn't include Roma Dunze. I didn't include, man, you want to go Jamar Chase? Like, is he still last?
Well, he's Wilson compared to all those guys, according to what you just read to me a couple of segments ago. What the hell was that, by the way? Who wrote that up? Comparisons that compared him to every Fred Biletnikoff to Paul Warfield to Jerry Rice. He was all of them somehow. What did you have to say?
I'm just tired. You read what, and he's behind Malik Nabers and... Tired of hearing the comparison to last year because we're not drafting last year. We're drafting this year. You got to take somebody with the number two pick.
Yes.
You can't go, well,
trade down.
Well, in this draft, he does not compare at all to Randy Moss. I mean, Randy Moss would have been number one in this draft. So
well,
let's go get him.
If I'm not going to take a quarterback, I feel he has, because of the way a team could use him, I feel he has the biggest boom or bust potential other than a quarterback. And so if I'm going to take a number two, and it's not going to be, well, okay, if I'm going to take a person at number two.
I don't think you can include the word bust then if you're taking number two. You can't go, well, he's got the biggest bust as well.
And this is why I'm thinking.
It's got to only be boom.
I would like to, if I'm not going to take a QB at position number two in the draft, then I think I'd like to go with somebody who's solid, who's going to give me top end play, and that's going to be Abdul Carter. Then I'll just take it. He'll probably, the second they take him, he'll probably turn into Lieutenant Dan. But either way, I'm going to take Abdul Carter.
Well, you know, in this draft, he'd be behind Bruce Smith and Reggie White.
Guys, I know that this draft is so messed up that I think there's going to be a lot of things that a lot of us say that we're going to be really embarrassed by in 10 years by some of these prospects, whether we loved him or whether we hated him. But I think with boomer bust potential, he has the most bust potential other than a quarterback. He's got great boom potential. He's a nice young man, it seems. Great player. But if I'm not going to take a quarterback, I want to take a top-end position that's going to help, that is still a in-demand position. Wide receiver is in demand. Absolutely, it's in demand. But damn it, I can have all the great wide receivers in the world. I still got to figure out who the hell is going to be throwing to these guys. And maybe Travis Hunter does make Kenny Pickett look better. Or maybe they do go out and get Kirk Cousins after what Diana Russini had just tweeted out there. Maybe that changes our mind. We don't know. Everybody's Rumsfeldian right now. We don't know who we're going to get. And I think, man, I just don't want to see a guy who wants to play corner, it seems, but is a better wide receiver, getting lost in the wash on this team. Because if it comes down to it, I can just look at Abdul Carter and go, hey, put both them hands in the ground, get that butt up in the air, and go after the quarterback. Go after number nine, go after number eight, and whoever the hell the Steelers march out there. Go after those guys. It ain't that hard. It's very easy. Use your speed, use your agility, get around this guy, go after him. Instead of, well, if we do this, we da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- very exciting prospect when it comes down to him or Travis Hunter with everything else that's going on.